Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy. Because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
dear mama. Nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you?
And dear mama,
please, no one above you.
You all appreciate it. Some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Well, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Ward. And I first want to say thank you to all my listeners, north to south, east to west, and everyone around the world in the 35 countries that tune in on Fridays. I appreciate you. We're going to have a great show tonight with our guest, Minister Nicole Crapper. But before I bring her on, I want to say hello to my co-host, Chris Michael Ward. How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Terry. How are you? Happy Friday.
Yeah, thank you. I'm hanging in there. It's a little rough. You know, my back is on fire, but I'm trying to get through this. But I'm going to start my questions with Nikki. I first want to say thank you for tuning in this weekend, because I know ministers use the weekend to get their sermons for Sunday ready. So I appreciate the time you took out to be on the show.
And thank you.
You're welcome. And my first question to you, people who wear the white collars, call them clergy, what are other titles for the people who wear the white collar?
Well, each belief is different. Some you have ministers, some you have reverends, some you have priests. It all depends on what particular denomination you follow.
Okay. And another question I have, I know there are different religions, but, you know, the Bible says that God gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And with that being said, you know, I know the Bible is written by holy men, but it was inspired by God. So if God is saying that, why is such a big division today where people say that if you don't belong to this church or this church or this church, you're all going to hell? Why is that? When God said that and he didn't discriminate against different groups.
It's very easy. A lot of people as humankind, no matter what culture you're from, what background you hold or what you've been taught, everyone wants to feel as though they're right, can receive it or accept it. No one wants to be wrong. And I'm not going to say that there are people on here that are wrong. I'll just say that some people's opinions vary and are different from others.
Okay. Chris, I know you got a question. Go ahead, darling.
Okay, Nicole, my first question to you is, you know, a lot of believers of Jesus Christ, including myself, you know, believe in blessings. And I'm sure you believe in blessings. So I was just wondering, what are your top five blessings that you're currently blessed about?
My top five blessings, first off, every morning before my feet touch the ground, I say thank you for waking me up, because I could have been dead. My opportunity to reach someone or teach someone or to introduce them to Christ could have been over, but it wasn't. So first and foremost, I thank God for my life. Secondly, I thank God for the fact that he allowed me to have a wonderful husband by the name of Michael Benjamin Crapper Jr.
Wow.
Then I thank him for my parents and those that I came from, because I had wonderful tutelage. Then I thank God for my children. And after my children, I thank God for those who continue to teach me and lead me as my mentors in Christ, such as my pastor and my archbishop. Those are my five blessings.
Wow. When you say archbishop, you made me think about Catholic religion because I only associate that with them. So are you Catholic?
No, I'm not Catholic. However, I am a Christian. And most, when you consider saints or people who believe in God or people who believe in Jesus in different forms, a lot of people first think of the Catholic Church. But there are some that have branched away from Catholicism into Christianity, others who have branched even further away, for example, into Mormonism, others who have even branched away into Santeria, voodoo, witchcraft. There are many, many different religions across the face of the world, but there are the top head ones that almost everyone knows. If you don't believe in Jesus, it's normally witchcraft or shamanism. If you do believe in Jesus, then it's either Catholicism or Christianity. Then you have your Muslims. Then you have Shintoism, Buddhism. It all depends on where you are, where you're at, and what your spiritual walk accepts for your life.
Wow. Well, I have a quick question. This is from the book of Corinthians. And in that book, I'm sure you know it, there's a passage that says that women are supposed to not be on the pulpit. They are only supposed to be able to teach, like a woman's Bible class. And so with that being said, how do you explain women preachers?
Oh, that's very easy. Some think that's a very hard one to deal with, but not for me. Reason being is because, yes, I am a minister, and a minister is nothing more than a servant. I am also a prophet. And as a prophet, we prophesy in part. There are things that God will reveal to each and every one of us. But I'm going to bring everyone to a story that is well known. When Jesus died, and he was in the tomb, he had women come to attend his body, but they found that Jesus had arisen. They came to oil him and wrap him, but he was rising. He got up. He was resurrected. And when he spoke to those women, guess what he did? He sent them. A sent woman by Jesus Christ himself to go talk to the disciples that were men. So if he can...
Okay, could you stop right there for a second, Minister Clapper, because I read the Bible too, and when Mary Magdalene came back to the tomb to finish prepping Jesus for burial, the stone was rolled back, and he was risen, and the angel said, why are you crying? Because he was not dead. But it was only one woman that went back and told the disciple, not a couple of women. It was only one. Well, that's what the King James Version of the Bible says.
Yes, two women went to attend him, but only one was sent. That is the very meaning of the word apostle, which is a rank structure within the Christian church, to hold apostleship. And all apostle means is a sent one. So if a woman can be sent to men to tell of the risen Christ, is she not also talking? And isn't talking a form of preaching with passion?
Okay. Well, maybe, you know, they have different versions, but I never heard of the one woman going to the tomb and it was rolled back. So... you know, and that's a problem I have with all these different versions of the Bible. But before I get into that more, I'm going to let Chris ask his question.
Okay, Nicole, my next question to you is, as you mentioned, you're a minister. So what are some reasons why you think people should join a ministry?
Easy. How many parents do we have? How many people who don't have children have raised someone else's child? You want to teach what you know, what you accept to be true. You want to pass on a legacy, and you always want the generation following you and those along with you to have the very best. So wouldn't
right.
the very best to offer someone be Christ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Therefore, that's ministry.
Okay.
And you're doing it yourself, Chris, with your nephew. You always, you know, got him under your wing, so you're ministering him to him too and teaching him how to get through life because it's not easy. And my question, Minister Crapper, is people say that once you get baptized and get saved that you're good and you can't lose your salvation. But I've heard that you can lose your salvation, but there's a way back. Could you explain that in detail?
Yeah. The scripture says it is each person's responsibility to work out their own soul salvation. But Paul also stated in his storyline that the good that I want to do, I do not, which means that he was a man, just like any other person, or a woman if you are a female. Even though he knew the right thing to do, he still kept sinning. He had habits, and sometimes habits are not easily broken. It takes time. Sometimes you have to meditate upon God's word, which is also in the Bible. And as you meditate on the word and spend your time in the presence of God and living out of every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, then you will eventually change. You might not see it overnight, but it will happen.
Okay, okay. Wonderful. All right, Chris, your question, darling.
Okay, Nicole. What would you say to somebody who I know some people who are atheists, and you know I believe in Jesus, and you know so people in my family believe in Jesus, but like what's the best way to respond to them if they don't understand the passage of Christ or Jesus?
Oh, that's easy. I've had quite a few people that I've met in the military because I'm also a veteran, and few of them were atheists, and we had a chance to sit down and have lunch one day, and he asked me a question, this gentleman, who shall remain nameless, very sweet young man. He said, you believe in God. I don't. What do you say to me? I said, well, I'm not God. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. Now, if we can talk about it, that's fine. But there's no need to argue because clearly you have your views for a reason, just like I have mine. Let's find out what kind of conversation this can develop into. It might be quite interesting. I have no problem with listening to his views, and he had none listening to mine. And on some points, we agreed to disagree, even though I did introduce him to the word that I believe, which is the Holy Bible, and he denied it, and that's fine. Because it's not my place to force someone into belief. You can actually run a person away from that. And
wow.
I just simply showed him how God was always in his life, in different aspects of his life since he was a childhood to the day that he and I met. And one thing that he did say was, you are one of the most respected people that I know, and I'm glad that you wasn't nasty to me or yell and fuss at me. I said, darling, I have no reason to, because we're all God's children. We're all just trying to find acceptance in his light and in his love.
Right.
Well, Nikki, I know that we're all supposed to follow the golden rule if we want to get into heaven. But there's one rule that I heard about, I read about in the Bible, that you can't recover from. And that's if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that you're going straight to hell. Everything else, you might get a plea or whatever, but I've read that if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're going straight to hell. Is that not true?
I take the word literally. Now, this is how I'm going to show you in my form. When I was in the military, there was a time when I got out of my vehicle and I was headed to my barracks. When I went through across a parking lot, another person from a different barracks jumped in a car and slammed on his reverse in order to get out of the parking lot because apparently he was going somewhere. Next thing I knew, I saw a flash of light, and I ended up halfway up the sidewalk sitting down. No hurt, no harm had come to me, not a scratch. But the very spot where I was standing in that parking lot, the car was over top of it. The gentleman jumped out of the vehicle, ran up to where I was sitting at on the sidewalk, and he goes, "Oh, my God, are you all right? Are you? Oh, my God, do I need to take you to the hospital? Do I need to call an ambulance?" I said, "What for? I'm absolutely fine." And I stood up. He goes, "I hit you." And I looked at him. I said, "No, you didn't. I don't know how I got here, but you didn't hit me. As you can see, I'm perfectly fine." He stood there looking at me as if I grew 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 heads. But I was absolutely fine. I went on, and I told him, "Go ahead, get in his vehicle. Just slow down next time." And he went on about his business. If I was to deny that that had ever happened, would be me blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I know for a fact that God had me, because what no one knew was 2 days previous, I had given my life to Christ completely and utterly, just 2 days previous, 48 hours. Now, had I not done that, I think I might have died. Had I not done that, I think I might be in hell and you wouldn't be speaking to me right now. But that is something that I know that I know that I know actually happened, actually took place, because it happened to me.
I even heard about a story where this woman was coming home from work, and she had to walk past these guys that looked like gangbangers, and it was really scary. And she was scared, and she kept walking, and she kept walking, and she made it home. And after she got home, someone called her and said, "Who were those tall men with her?" She said, "I was by myself. Those were angels." So God will protect you when you don't even realize it, you know. But because I know he has protected me from some stuff in my life, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I've heard that that firm voice to move from where I was, because my life would have been a whole lot different. So I know the Holy Spirit is real. I'm just saying. But, Chris, ask your question.
Okay, my next question to Nicole is, was you born with this love of Christ? I mean, let me reframe. Was you born into believing that you should join a ministry? Like, do you have other ministers in your family?
Yes, there are other ministers in my family, but I have a duality. And the duality for me is, on my mother's side of the family, everyone went to church. Everyone believed in God. Now, some went to church at a bar, and others went to church at a sanctuary. But they all believed in God. They just had different forms of how they walked their particular life in their belief in Christ. Now, on my father's side, none of them went to church, except for when somebody got married or died. They wouldn't even go for a christening. But on that side of the family, they believed in shamanism and in witchcraft. I'm glad I chose to believe on my mother's side of the family. I believe in God. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity. And that's also part of the mission statement that we have for our church, which is Kingdom Life Ministries International aspires to empower individuals through the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit to walk out their kingdom purpose, because we believe in the fivefold ministry.
Well, I do know that on your mother's side of the family, your mother was a Bible school teacher. Your grandmother was a woman's teacher and sung in a choir. Your grandfather and your great-grandfather were ministers. A whole bunch of cousins were ministers, you know, so... On your
yes.
mother's side, yeah, ministry is strong.
Yes.
Okay,
and for some that maybe the line that's listening, I don't want to confuse anyone. If anyone is questioning what the fivefold ministry is, all you have to do is look up Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11. The fivefold ministries are the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That is the fivefold ministry.
Okay, well, I do have a question, because this has been a question that has come up. where I see today some people call themselves apostles, but I was told that, you know, Jesus anointed the 12 apostles. Everybody else are called disciples. How can you clear that up for me?
Apostles, the word itself means the sent one.
It means what?
He sent them out once he taught them. So, yes, they were disciples. They had to learn the discipline of what God had given to him so that he can teach them. And once they learned it, they no longer became disciples. They became his apostles because he then sent them out. And as he sent them out, they then again transitioned and became evangelists. They went out with using the word of God as a sword to cut some things off of them in deliverance and to pray over them. And once again, they transitioned. Once they got people to actually listen, they began to teach the people in the various destinations that they traveled two by two. And then once again, they transitioned once more, and they sent them back to where they could be trusted and taught inside of a sanctuary in their own community to pastors and also to prophets. Because all prophets are a voice boxes of God on heaven. When God speaks, the prophet speaks to the people.
Okay. Chris, you got another question?
Yeah, my next question is, Nicole, have you thought about writing any, have you thought about authoring any books or anything? Because the things that, I mean, the, how you're explaining this is so insightful. Have you thought about writing a book or anything?
I've been asked several times over the years to write some books. And right now I am actually starting to compile quite a bit of my notes and quite a bit of my journaling in order to see whether or not I actually want to write a book. But I'm looking into it as we speak.
Well,
awesome.
On that note, Nicole Crapper, I appreciate your time here with us. My time is running down, and I want you to stay blessed, stay safe. And if you ever want to come back on, your family, but we got to get out of here. And next week we're going to have Annie Mae Flood, who's going to talk about her son who died from AIDS. And she'll be on next week. I want you to tune in the same time. And thank you, Chris, for tuning in and being here.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. If you want to download the show, you can go to my timeline and see the show and share it to your media site. And thank you again, Nicole Crapper. I appreciate your time for clearing some things up for people out there because a lot of people are looking for God and they don't know where to look. So on that note, we're out of here. Take care now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bless you.
A masterpiece is priceless, valuable, a work of art, lovable, a jewel, irreplaceable, and they say, that's me.
Look at me.